so as we continue to look in depth at this Proverbs 31 woman and her character, which we have talked about being inward characteristics that manifest outwardly. We looked this week at her mouth, and verse 26 of Proverbs 31 says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." And so we actually see in one verse two more characteristics of this Proverbs 31 woman. And they are, in the first section, wisdom. She is a wise woman, first of all, because of what she's putting into her body. And secondly, we see, as a result of that, a character that comes out of her body, which is kindness. Because she is putting wisdom in, kindness comes out. There are two more character traits of this woman. And we can be much like this woman if we are ourselves putting in the same things as she is. And I was listening to a study by Shannon Gallatin and on this verse, and I was blessed by some of the things she had to say about our words. And she started out by saying that it's amazing how sometimes there are things that are created that are designed with one purpose in mind and then get turned around and used for other things. And she shared a couple of examples, like toothpaste. Of course, we use it for cleaning our teeth, cleaning our mouths out. But she said an amazing thing somebody pointed out to her, that if you need a good ring cleaner, toothpaste will clean your diamond and your rings, your jewelry, very well. Now, whoever thought, let me try scrubbing my ring with my toothpaste, I don't know, but things turned around for bee stings, I don't know, so put butter on them. Whoever thought of slapping a slab of butter on a bee sting? But butter will work. Also, covering a bee sting with a penny will help. So, No, you need something else, Crystal. Don't try a penny. Don't try butter. You go right for that EpiPen, yes. But we also see that with what God has created for one purpose gets turned around often and used for another purpose. We see that with our tongue. Very often, God created it with one intent in mind, and because of sin coming into the world, it is often used for something very different than what he intended it to be. And we see that in depth in James, as he talks about blessing and cursing coming off of the same tongue, and that it shouldn't be. But we do see that that happens. And I don't know about you, but through this study and through other studies, just the power that there is in words. They're such a small thing, but they're powerful. And Shannon was commenting about how until words come out of a person, you don't know anything about that person except for what you see outwardly. And, you know, we've talked about our Proverbs 31 woman and how she has this character being built inwardly. But you see something on the outside of her because of what's on the inside and what's being built on the inside. But, you know, when Fred and I first came here, you didn't know anything about either of us until you started talking to us, until things started coming out of our mouths and you learned more about what's on the inside. So you really know who we are, because, you know, we can see to an extent, well, gee, she just got her hair cut. My goodness, when she pulls it back, there's an awful lot of gray there, but, you know, there, she slouches a lot, you know, but it really doesn't say a whole lot about what's going on the inside. And so if we really want to know something about somebody, we need to hear their words. We need to hear from them. We need to have that expression of these words. Our words can express our likes, our dislikes. Words can express our feelings. A lot of times, there are people who could be very sad, but you don't see that on the outside because they express something different. I went through a time when I was in college where I went through an extreme depression, but I wore a different face because I didn't want anybody to know what was going on the inside. And so when it finally came out, what was going on, people were like, "You are kidding me." You know, they had no clue what was taking place in this heart of mine and what a dark place I was in. But we can often, in our expressions, wear something completely different than what's going on. And it's not until we express what's taking place on the inside with our words, nobody really knows that. So there's a lot of power in our words. Words can mask feelings, or they can illuminate feelings. They can illuminate what's going on the outside. We can use our words to stir up pride in somebody because we may puff somebody up with our words and turn them to looking at themselves. Our words can be used to stir up insecurity or fear in somebody. If we use a word that is hurtful or piercing to somebody, all of a sudden we can build up an insecurity in them. I know our daughter Hannah, she deals with a lot of fear. And if I'm not careful about what I say, especially before she goes to bed, she'll have a sleepless night because she'll be thinking about what she's told, you know. And she'll even say, you know, even at dinner time, if conversation starts going in a certain direction about, even about somebody being sick, or, you know, when we found out about my mother having cancer, you know, we gathered the kids together. We didn't want to tell them before they went to school. We didn't want that to spoil their school day. So we chose to wait to the end of the day. And we told the kids at the end of the day. And I'll tell you, she was rocked by our words. And so our choice of words, how we say them, Fred and I will often say in counseling, it's not necessarily what you say, but it's how you say it. Because your words may be truth, but it's the delivery that can make a big difference. So we need to be careful of the delivery of our words. Our words can start causing people to look around at others as well. So words can be powerful. And then she went on with these descriptions of words, and I don't think I ever really considered so much about what a word is. And she said, a word is weightless, yet it can have enough force to crush another's heart. Has your heart ever been crushed by the words that somebody has said to you? Or have you ever crushed somebody with your words? I know I have. And there's been words that come out of my mouth that I wish I could just grab them and stuff them back in after they come out, and it's like, you know, but our words can crush, even though a word is weightless. Words are completely independent. They can stand alone. Yet, if you unify them in the right way, a whole nation can come together in an activity. They can be rallied in devastating ways. Look at the Holocaust. There were some angry words that came out of one man, and look at the devastation that took place. But he unified people with his words, and so our words can unify. It can unify in a positive way as well. But they're independent and stand alone, have their own meanings. But when you put them together in a certain way, they are very powerful and effective. Words are strong enough to lift another person's burdens. Have words that somebody has said to you comforted you? Have they encouraged you? Have they strengthened you in ways? Powerful. They can be strong. Words can't be touched, yet they can be felt. You ever heard that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That saying is so untrue. Words hurt. They can pierce a person's heart. They can tear a person down. Or they can lift a person up. They can build a person up. So they can't be touched, but they can be felt. Words have no temperature, but they can bring warmth into a situation. or they can bring terrible cold into a situation. Words cannot think, but they are imperative to solving problems. It's when we come together and discuss an issue that's going on with our words that problems can be solved, situations can be worked out. Two words put together, two tiny little words put together, three little letters, I do, before God, make two people one, before God, till death do them part. Words bind. So there's great power in words. How valuable they are, and what influence words can have. And what was God's purpose in creating words? Well, we see back in Genesis that what God had in mind, he spoke because he wanted us to see what was going on in his mind. Like I said earlier, we can see somebody, but we know nothing about them until they express what they're thinking in words. And so God had a creation in his mind. He had a plan for what was going to take place over a six-day stretch. And he spoke it into existence. So he used his words to create. He created the world and everything that's in it. He used his words to give names or labels to things. And most importantly, he used his words to give us a name. He calls us a name by name. He knows each one of our names. In fact, he even knows the number of hairs that we have on our head. He wants to be, he knows us intimately. So he used his words to give labels and names to what he had created. He used his words to instruct. He gave Adam and Eve instructions on to what they were to do in the garden. And then when they eventually were to leave the garden, he gave them instructions. And he gives us instructions through his word. He uses his words to bless. Bless his creation, to bless us. He uses his word to create fellowship with man, because we saw him walking in the garden. And what were Adam and Eve aware of? The voice of God walking in the garden. And what was that for? That was for that relationship that he had with them. And he speaks to us much in the same way through his word. And we know that Jesus is equated with the word. He used his words to create a purpose to everything that he made. And so he gave us a purpose, and we find that purpose in his word as well. So that was just some stuff that I gleaned from her study that I was very blessed by, and things that I think I knew, but I needed to have pointed out, you know, just the power that there is in our words. And I've seen that, and I've seen how I have, in ways, crushed people with my words, and in other ways, built people up. We had some questions in our lesson that even asked, you know, what kind of words do come out of your mouth? You know, ask other people what comes out of your mouth. And maybe you did that, maybe you didn't do that. I did that. I wanted to know, what do people hear come out of my mouth? And I was blessed somewhat by what I heard, but I also heard some silence. I heard, you know, when I first asked some people, they just kind of sat there and was like, what does come out of her mouth? And, you know, and for a little bit there, I was like, is that good or is that bad? That, you know, they really don't have a whole lot to say. But, you know, I think about how so many times you hear the statistics that women outnumber men in the number of the words that they say. And I am not one of those women. You know, I know that I come here and I, you know, do this study and stuff, but I am not a woman of many words. I am not a talker. People are sometimes put off by that. They may think, boy, she doesn't like me. She doesn't, you know, but that's not that. I'm just not a talker, you know. And so please don't ever be offended by that. I just, you know, if I have something to say, I'll say it. If I don't, I just, you know. But so I was provoked by some of these questions and the words that do come out of my mouth. You know, I always want them to be ones that will build people up and encourage people. I want wisdom to be in my mouth. That when I open my mouth, I want it to be from the Lord. When I speak, I want it to be kind. You know, I don't ever want to tear somebody down with my tongue. But so as I was looking through scripture and thinking about this, I want to look at the flip side of this a little bit and what should not be coming out of our mouths first, and then we'll take a look at what should be coming out of our mouths. And so, I wanted to look at James, because that has a lot to say about our mouths. Chapter 3, verses 2, or beginning in verse 2. It says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body." So right there we see, guess what, we're going to fail with our mouths, you know. Because if we don't, then we're perfect. Yeah, we're starting. And James chapter 3, verse 3, "Now indeed, we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned with a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires us or desires it. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." And then it goes on to talk about, can fresh water and bitter water come out of the same spring? And, you know, we get the idea here. I think we all know that our tongues are just, they're untamable. You know, we can be at home in the morning before church, like going absolutely crazy, you know, fire can be coming out of our mouth, you know, and we're rushed and I just want to get out of the house on time for once, you know, and ooh, but then we get to church and hello everyone, how are you, you know, and so that we can see it within a matter of minutes, you know, that cursing can be coming and then blessing, you know, and it can be very frustrating. And it's such a small, it's one of the smallest muscles in our body, but one of the hardest to control, you know. And we were talking about this with our kids a couple weeks ago, and Fred was describing, because he had grown up with horses, the bit in the horse's mouth is just this tiny curved little piece of metal, yet they can control this huge horse with this tiny thing, you know, and it pushes on their tongue, and it does. Their tongue being moved in a certain direction moves that whole beast. You know, and I don't know about you, but I have changed the whole course of what's taking place in my home with the tone that's coming off of my tongue. You know, things can be going really well, and all of a sudden I can say something, and out of my mouth will come something, you know, a spark that starts a forest fire in my house, you know, and just with this little tiny tongue and that whole thing, you know, our whole 7-member family is all of a sudden changed by one little word that comes off of my one little tongue, you know. So we do need to be very careful of what's coming out of our mouths. I wanted to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, says, what did I just do? Therefore, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So here we have a list of things that we shouldn't find in our mouths if we are going to open our mouths with wisdom and if the law of kindness is going to be on our tongue. First off, in verse 25, lying should not be found in our mouths. Only what's true should be coming out of our mouths. It says in the Psalms that God hates lying lips. And so we don't ever want lying to be found on our tongue. Verse 29, no corrupt words proceeding out of our mouths, only because corrupt words tear people down. It pierces people. And it goes on to say, but rather what's good for edification, what's going to build somebody up? It may be something, they may be corrective words. It may be something that somebody needs to hear. But are we saying it in a way that builds them up, that teaches them? Or are they words, are we saying it in a way that tears them down? We need to be careful. Because we want grace to be imparted. And verse 31, quite a list here. Bitterness. When we have a root of bitterness in us, you know what comes out of our mouth? Venom. You know, poison. Deadly poison comes out. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. It should be put away from us. Those things should not be found on our tongue. Because it doesn't glorify the Lord and it doesn't point people to him. It would turn people away from him. And if we go on to, what did I do? I don't know. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Technology. In chapter 5, if we look at verse 4, it's talking about other things that we should be putting off of ourselves. If we look at verse 4, it says, filthiness is and foolish talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting. If we are believers in Christ, coarse jesting should not be coming out of our mouths. Filthiness, perverseness shouldn't be coming out of our mouths. Do we joke about people, and do our jokes cut them down when we do it? That's not fitting for a believer. It shouldn't be in our mouths. If we look at verse 6, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Empty words should not be in our mouths. Words that are just used because we want to be filling time. You know, the word talks about, and we looked at that in our study about idle words. You know, we don't need to just be filling conversation for the sake of filling conversation. Are they empty words just about nothing? Because we can be deceived by empty words, and we can deceive others with empty words. So we don't want that coming out of our mouths. We look in the Old Testament at 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 3 says, talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. So here we see two things that should not be found in our mouths. Pride should not be found in our mouths, and arrogancy should not be found in our mouths. Nothing that builds us up, or, you know, look at me, you know, we shouldn't, those should not be proceeding out of our mouths. Oh, and there's so much in Psalms about our mouths. I'm just going to run through these real quick. I'm not even going to turn to them. I have listed out several verses and a few things that I've picked out of these verses in Psalms. Psalms 5, verses 6 and 9 say, from our mouths, lies should not be coming, deceit should not be coming, and flattery should not be on our lips. Flattery is a very dangerous thing because it puffs somebody up and makes them think more of themselves than they ought to. And it takes their eyes off of the Lord and puts it on man. So, no flattery should be on our mouths. Psalms 10, verse 7 talks about cursing should not be found in our mouths. Fraud, untruth should not be in our mouths. Mischief and vanity should not be in our mouths. Psalms 15, verse 2, backbiting shouldn't be in our mouths. But it seems to come so easily. You know, when somebody rubs us the wrong way or has done something to us, it's so easy to just throw those little jabs out there. You know what so-and-so is like. Do you know what they did? Do you remember this? Just those little backbiting shouldn't be there. And reproach shouldn't be on our lips. Psalm 144, verses 8 and 11. Again, vanity should not be on our lips. Falsehood should not be on our lips. Chapter 50, verse 19 says, evil should not be found in our mouths. If we were to look at Proverbs, verse 4, it says, froward speech should not be in our mouths. Perverseness should not be on our lips. Colossians 3, 8 and 9 say that filthy communication should not be coming out of our mouths. There's an awful lot on TV these days, and it's filthy. We shouldn't be talking about it. We shouldn't be laughing at it. We shouldn't, you know, be saying, did you see this? Did you? You know, it's filthy, and that's filthy communication that shouldn't even be on our lips. In Jude 1:16, murmurings and complainings should not be on our lips, which so easily can be on our lips. So easily can be on my lips. I'm a good murmurer. I'm a good complainer. But God says, for a believer, it shouldn't be there. But on the flip side, what should be on our lips? Joshua 1:8. Says that the law should be on our lips. Says this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How will your way be prosperous, and how will you have good success? And it's not talking about that you're going to, you know, have all the riches in the world. You're not going to become a wealthy person according to this world's riches, but according to God's riches, you're going to be prosperous and you're going to be successful in God's eyes if this book of the law does not depart from your mouth. We should be in His Word. We should be speaking it to one another. We should be encouraging one another with the Word. We should be meditating in it day and night and observing to do what's in it. So, the law should be on our mouths. Psalm 5. Beginning in verse 1. It says, the chief musician with flutes, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words. So here he's speaking. O Lord, consider my meditation. There should be meditation on our mouths to the Lord. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. So on our tongue should be meditation, should be prayer to the Lord. He loves to hear that. And David will encourage you to do it in the morning. You know, start your day out communicating with the Lord. Cry out to him. Is there an issue going on in your life? Something that you're struggling with? Something that you're having a hard time, you know, dealing with? Cry out to him. Let him hear your cries. Use your words to bring those to the Lord. So again, his law should be on our tongue. Meditation to him. Prayer to him. The cries of our heart should be on our tongue. Psalm 17. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. So we can purpose with our mouths. We can plan with our mouths that I am not going to do what we listed earlier with my mouth. So there can be purpose in our mouths. Purpose to glorify the Lord. Purpose to have kindness on our tongue. Purpose to have wisdom in our mouths. So we can find purpose. Purpose for the Lord in our mouths, that we might not sin against him. And Psalm 37. Verse 30, we see the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. So here out of this mouth we see wisdom coming, which we see in the Proverbs 31 woman, and we also see justice or good judgment coming out of this person's mouth, and that should be coming out of our mouths as well. Psalms are rich. Whoops. Psalm 40, verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust the Lord. So we should have songs coming out of our mouth. And what are those songs? To be praise to our God. And people will hear it, and it will direct it to him. It will be directed to him. And when our praises are directed to him, many will trust the Lord because of what they hear coming out of our mouths. So a new song should be in our mouths. Again in Psalms, chapter 54. Verse 2 says, Jackie, hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. So again, prayer should be on our tongues, as we were talking about that song earlier. Hear my prayer, O God. You know, when prayer is on our tongue, God will hear us. Psalm 71, verse 15. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. So, words of righteousness for others, words of salvation, should be on our tongue. Do you know people who don't know the Lord? I sure do. Words that can speak life to them should be on my tongue and my mouth. Malachi.
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2, verse 6 says, "The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity." So the law of truth should be in our mouths. And where else are we going to find that but being in God's word? We must be in his word. And what was not found in his mouth? Injustice. And as a result, peace was in his life, and many were turned from iniquity. So if we have truth in our mouths, if we're walking, as we saw earlier, if righteousness and salvation is coming out of our mouths, if wisdom and judgment are coming out of our mouths, people are going to be turned. They're going to see their sin, and they're going to be turned from it. So our words have power, as we looked at earlier. Romans. Chapter 10. And some of these verses may be very familiar to us. Verse 9. It says, If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So there should be confession on our mouths, confession of who we serve. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So that's a proclamation that, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Master. And it continues here, and you believe in your heart that he raised you from the dead, you will be saved. So this is a verse of assurance of our salvation. Do you ever question your salvation? Well, do you confess with your mouth that he's Lord? Do you believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead? Well, you are saved. So this is an incredible verse of assurance. It goes on in verse 10 to say, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So, you know, we put what's taking place in our heart into words. A proclamation of what we believe. Further in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Mm-hmm. Verse 6 says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, glory to God should be found in our mouths. Praise to our Father is something that should be found on our lips. In Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29 says, and we looked at this earlier, but we looked at the flip side. It said, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." So edification should be on our lips. That which builds another up, perhaps corrects another, but does it in a way that is built, that grace is imparted to the hearer. And finally, what should be found on our lips? Colossians 3, verse 12 says, "Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. So on our lips should be tender mercies, should be kindness, humility should be on our lips, nothing that builds us up, meekness, patience, putting up with one another, and forgiveness should be on our lips. And where do we get these things? None other than from the Lord. Do you have trouble with what's coming out of your mouth? Go to the Lord. Let Him know. Ask Him to help you with your tongue. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. This is where Moses, the Lord has come to Moses and said to him, I want you to go before Pharaoh and I want you to tell him that he's to release my people. And Moses has this to say. Moses then said to the Lord, Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So Moses is saying, it's not in my mouth to do what you're asking of me. Look at verse 11. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. Do you say, Lord, I struggle with salvation being on my mouth to that cashier that you want me to talk to. I struggle talking to that unbeliever. I struggle talking to that coworker. I struggle talking to that family member about you. He says, I made your mouth. Go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. We get our words from Him. Further in Exodus, in chapter 13, verse 9, it says, It shall be as a sign to you in your hand, as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. So it was with the Lord's hand. He's the one who put the law in their mouths, and so we can ask Him, Lord, be with my mouth, put your words on my lips. If you lack wisdom, fear the Lord. We see in Job 28:28, it says, And to the man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To depart evil is understanding. We need to fear the Lord, and we will gain wisdom. Gain wisdom through His word. Proverbs 2:6 also says, The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So the best way to have wisdom put in our mouth so that the law of kindness can be on our tongues, and that whole other list of things that we looked at, wisdom and judgment and new songs and prayer and salvation and mercies and the law of truth and that which is edifying and being grace to the hearers and thankfulness should be on our tongues is prayer. Psalm 141, and I'm going to close with this verse, is a prayer, and it says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips." And that's something that each one of us can pray every morning when we spend time with Him. Lord, put a guard over this mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. Because we want that which is good to come out, that which builds others up. We don't ever want what comes out of our mouth to be the reason that somebody is pierced or crushed. So, Lord, do that. Set a guard over our mouths, Lord. Keep a watch over the door of our lips, Lord. We do pray that these gates sometimes get broken, Lord, and things come out that shouldn't come out, Lord. So please put your hand on our mouths, Lord. May that which is kind, that which is true, that which builds others up, Lord, that which leads to life, come off of our tongues, Lord, that you would be pleased and glorified, and that many would be turned from iniquity, Lord, as we saw as well in your word, Lord. We thank you for your word. We pray that we would meditate on it day and night, Lord, that it would be wisdom, Lord, for us and to those that hear it, Lord, coming from our mouths, Lord. And just change us, mold us, shape us more into your image, Lord. We love you and we praise you. We pray now that as we go into the discussion time of the questions that we've looked at over these past couple weeks, Lord, that you would be pleased and glorified with what you've shown us, Lord, and that we would use it for edification, for building one another up, Lord. We just love you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.